Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Equipped to March, with WVU Chi Alpha. The hope of this podcast is to equip small groups with sound biblical teachings on God and how to walk with Him, and to equip the small group leader with the tools to lead as God has called them. We pray you are equipped and encouraged by this podcast in order that you can march well for our King on the college campus. Now, please welcome our hosts.
All right, cool. Well, hey, thanks for coming back to our podcast. We're excited this week. We have a special guest. What's your name?
Ian.
Ian, good to have you. Good man. Yeah, I wanted to kind of jump into this. It's kind of like going off of our last podcast with Devotional Life. And so we, for the next couple weeks, I guess, are wanting to give you guys components to what we think is like either a mature or a healthy devotional life. And so with these things, it's kind of like you will have a good devotional life. And without these things, these aren't the only things that have to be a part of a devotional life, but I think they must be key and like the main thing. Because without any one of the things we're going to be talking about, it won't be good. It won't be complete. It won't be full. And so whether it's your personality to do these things or not, it kind of doesn't matter. These are the things that we think are really important. And so today, we're going to start out with the Bible.
Whoa.
And so that's going to be pretty cool. So yeah, I think a good question to start out with is, what is it? What is the Bible, guys?
Oh man, Yeah, I feel like a lot of people think it's like some overwhelming, like crazy, like, oh, dude, this is really hard. But it's like, it's to put it like really simple, instead of like going through this like amazing, exhaustive list of like, this is what it all is. Yeah. It's the Bible is just God revealing himself to man. Like that's it. And it's also showing his rescue mission for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Right on. Do you have anything?
Yeah, like the word of God is another way that it's talked about a lot. The scriptures, you know, like all these different names for. But I think like what you said, Ian, was really good. Just it's God's primary way of revealing himself to us. And it's also like the like thing we need to go back to when we're like thinking about God or trying to know what he's like, or know if something is of him, or whatever it is. It's like the not God's origin story, you know, but like like the scrolls, you know, they're called literally they were scrolls.
Yeah, right on. Point. Yeah.
And so these were the things that we have now that have been preserved over time, and it's been like it's just crazy to have the Word of God, and we'll
seriously. Yeah, it's like a miracle that we even have this. I mean, do you guys know, I'm sure y'all do, what are some things that y'all have learned regarding the Bible itself, and how do we have it today?
Oh man, well, since
we only have a little bit of time.
We only have a little bit of time, and I know I studied history, and I got to take a lot of, like, ancient, history, and, like, Egyptian history, and stuff like that, but, like, dude, the way they were like preserved is crazy because like back then you would have like a scribe and his sole job was just to write down what's going on or to copy a scroll. And so the way it was like preserved like over time was like these men and women who were scribes would like word for word, you know, write it down.
Wow.
And if they would have other people check to see if they made mistakes. But one thing that was really cool, this is kind of like just a cultural thing about the Bible. When they would write God's name, they would throw the pen away and pick up a new pen. Because like just writing down God's name was like it made the pen holy.
Oh,
they like had to like get a new pen.
Yeah,
so like just the reverence that they had towards the scrolls, like is what preserved it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So they weren't like watching a show and doing it like casually.
No.
Like, I don't know. That's like a really cool thing to think that this is these words and these ideas are the same ideas that were written down originally.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of crazy to think about.
It is.
Yeah. I think one thing for me that makes the Bible like easier to like identify with mm-hmm. is understanding like who the original people were who like the Lord used or like told to write this stuff down in the first place.
Yeah.
So like, you know, Genesis through Deuteronomy, I don't know who all was around before God made Adam. Well, actually we do because it says who was around like animals and fish and birds and, you know, the stars.
The star. I'm just the host.
But you know, some, I think the Bible is like crazy in some sense. It's like before Adam was created or, you know, before Adam probably wrote down anything, you know, Genesis through Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible, Moses wrote those.
Right, yeah.
And so some of that stuff were laws that God, you know, explicitly said, Moses, write this down. Right. And so you kind of have everything in there twice because it says, God says to Moses, write this down. And you know, it's like six paragraphs and it says, so Moses wrote down the word of God. And it's the same six paragraphs.
And so, oh yeah.
And you know, so some of it was like, man, this stuff is law, like actual historical, like nation of Israel that still exists today across the Mediterranean, like law, like their laws when they first became a nation. But then some of it is like later on in the first part of the Bible, the New Testament, stuff that the Lord revealed to the people we know as prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi, you know, Micah, a lot of these guys that you can read all of this stuff in the Bible. They're just books of the Bible. And like it was like God was saying, hey, if they still do this, I'm going to do this. And it was like a foretelling. So God revealed this stuff to these guys, these, you know, people that like God used to speak to the nations. And, you know, so it's like, it's just this amazing attempt for God to reveal himself to us. And a lot of it is through, you know, God's interaction with his people, with mankind. And so, but just realizing like, oh man, Moses was a guy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He was a person. Isaiah was a person. Samuel was a person. You know, the disciples who wrote some of the New Testament, they were people. Yes. They were dudes who hung out with a dude named Jesus who was also God, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's just like, man, like these, it just makes it more, I think, like tangible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of something that I think for me is like both cool / informational, but at the same time, like, oh wow, this makes sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's such a big deal. Like when I think about reading the Bible, I don't know. we made this joke the other day. Like some people think how was the Bible written? And like, oh, God gave someone a golden scroll. So like every single person, you know, it's like Psalm. That sounds like David,
the lucky scroll,
Isaiah. You know, Matthew, they just got these like golden scrolls. And to think that someone actually like took the time, like I think for me, it just like blew my mind whenever I was learning this about that book of Luke, how when he says like a man, like let's say like a man got healed, you know, whatever. But then he says a person's name, like Jairus's daughter got healed. Luke was writing a book and Jairus was an eyewitness. He went to his house and interviewed him. And in Matthew, it kind of gives this like perspective, I guess, of Joseph. And it talks about Joseph's kind of like dreams and like all these things. And to think that Matthew went to Joseph's house and talked to Joseph, like that just blew my mind. Like I didn't think about that. And then in Luke, I think it's more about Mary. And so Luke went and hung out with Mary. And it's not just kind of like story after story, like, oh, like fables or like legends, you know, it's real. Like these are real people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a real historical account, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I was going to ask you guys like something that, I do and have done. I learned this like throughout, I think I mentioned this the other day, like, I haven't always enjoyed reading the Bible. And so something that I learned throughout my, I guess, like journey of falling in love with reading the Bible and not just the word of God, but God because of it, is when I read the Bible, I always ask, what is God like? I think one of y'all mentioned like this is like a revelation of who he is, his nature and his character. And if I can like read the Bible in such a way that I'm like, oh, this is actually going to show me something about Jesus. That's the point of this. I mean, yeah, it's cool if you're a Bible scholar and everybody in a small group, it's important to know your Bible, but truly it's much more important to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the thing about the Bible is that it does reveal Jesus, and that's the purpose of it. I think you mentioned.
Yeah. I think like one thing that like people do is they look at the Bible and they're like, oh, it's overwhelming. It's packed full of information. Yeah. There's history. There's weird stuff. It's old. Some parts are really boring or hard to get through. Yeah. And I remember when I was like younger, granted, you don't become a Bible scholar overnight.
Right.
Nor am I one or anything like that. But it's like that, there came a point when I got into college in Calvary, like I was reading my Bible in high school. That's when I like started taking things serious with Jesus. But I was like reading it to read it. I was reading it because it's like, I know it teaches me how to be good. I know it teaches me how to like, you know, do this or respond to that. But I was reading it just to read it. I was reading it as a checklist. But it wasn't until I got in your small group back at Sam Houston all those wonderful years ago. I was hanging out with people who were reading the Bible because they wanted to see Jesus.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it the Bible, like, it's cool. It's filled with like cool stuff. Mm-hmm. But the Bible tells me about someone.
Yeah.
I think that's like once that change happened in my mind of like, I'm not reading it just for fun or, you know, for this or that. It's I'm reading it to see Jesus.
Yeah.
It became like,
that's so cool.
My favorite book ever. Yeah. Like our favorite collection of books.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's amazing. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. Last week we talked a little bit about, you know, the point of a devotional life isn't a devotional life. Yeah. It's to know Jesus, to know God. And so to read your Bible, you don't just read it to read it. You don't just read it to gain information, or you don't just read it to know verses to quote to people or, you know, whatever. You know, like it is like Ian said originally, like God's main way of like him revealing himself to us. And so if that is true, then it's the best way to get to know God.
Yeah, that's right.
Is to read it. And so actually Sean preached this morning on suffering, and you know, it was amazing. But the thing he asked at the very end, in response to a lot of the stuff that he said, was the most important question that I want to ask you guys today is, do you really want to know God?
Yes.
And so, you know, he was talking in the sense of suffering and everything he had said previously, but, you know, that's a question for us, you know, when we count the cost of whatever, you know, there is a cost called time a lot of times when it comes to reading the Bible that we have to ask ourselves, do I really want to know God? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is yes, then this is the place to start. And it's like I'm never going to outgrow reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Like hopefully when I'm, you know, Lord willing, 90 years old, maybe one day I'll still be reading the Bible as the main way of like understanding who God is, what he's like, what he wants for my life, what he's here to do, and like have me do like in and through like other people's lives. And so, yeah, it's just like there's approaching it with like, what is God like is like so crucial in reading it. And obviously it's like, it's changed so many of our lives, you know, understanding it that way as well.
Yeah. Cause we can read the Bible, but the Bible reads us too while we're reading.
That's right.
And we like discover so much about ourselves and how like we can become more Christ-like. But it's like, it like baffles me. Like this is how God has chosen to reveal himself to
it's
us.
Like
and
random.
We're getting to read like his stories, his experiences, the things he's done. And it's, like I can't put into words just like how amazing it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's cool because this brings up a verse in my head, John 5:39. It's like kind of Jesus is talking to some of the religious leaders at the time, so he's like throwing some shade at them because he was like, "You read the scriptures as if they bring eternal life." but they testify about me.
That's right.
And so like at the time, you know, he's only talking about the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So half of the Bible, the New Testament was currently like happening.
Yeah.
You know, so nothing was written down yet. But it's just cool because Jesus was like, yeah, this book is about me. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh my goodness, why wouldn't I want to read it?
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, and when you were saying that, it made me kind of wonder, like, why do you say it's the main way that you would choose? Like why? Okay, there's all these other things, all these books, I don't even know what they are. But why the Bible? Like, why would y'all say that that is the main way? Like you were saying, Devo life to know Jesus. Why is the Bible, in your opinion, the main way to get to know Jesus?
I think the short answer is like, you know, we know this to be, like I said, also like called the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And the Bible itself says that like, the Word of God is God breathed. Mm-hmm. So it's inspired. He influenced men, spoke directly to them, different ways, about everything that's written in here. And so this amazing book, we believe is what he like desires for all men to know about himself, like God basics, which it's a big book, you know, but God's a big God.
And this doesn't, it doesn't really do the
right. It's not comprehensive, know? But like, you know, we've been talking a lot, at least with our staff, about the book, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. And in that book, he talks about different attributes of God's character, his holiness, his infiniteness, you know, whatever, knitness, you know. And those are all awesome, but he gets all those ideas from the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't, as much as I can learn about God from what A.W. Tozer thinks about him or has learned about him, what I can read in this random page that I opened up to, Ezra, mostly, I thought it was a girl's name.
Me too. Really?
Like, you know, 5 years ago.
Me too.
It's a guy's name, Ezra.
I said that to someone and they made fun of me. I was like, it sounds like one to me.
Yeah, Ezra was a priest in Israel a long time ago. But I can learn more truthfully about who God is, what he's like, from the book of Ezra or any of these other 66 books. Than I can any other
book. Yeah, that's really good.
And this is without error. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the biggest things about it is that we believe that this is without error.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, everything's true on the internet, right? So obviously it's a joke. But, you know, we do believe that, like, everything is true in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that is that's not common. A lot of other places outside the Bible.
Yeah, I think like the reason why the Bible is like the main way of like experiencing the Lord is because one, it's firsthand accounts, you know?
Right.
But on top of that, like you were talking about this last week on the podcast, but it'd be insane for me to ask Christopher to tell me about you. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to know Charles through Christopher.
Right.
I can just know you.
Yes, yes.
And so like, it's cool that, you know, we can listen to sermons and see like, oh, this is what this pastor is saying. Yeah. Like, we can listen to podcasts. We can read other like really good books that like deal with the Lord. But it, you know, it's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that's where like their ideas hopefully are coming from.
Yeah.
But it's in the Bible where we see like God revealed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Yeah. I was thinking about, man, it's just, it really is like such a, it's almost like a treat, like getting to be able to have something like the Bible. Mm-hmm. I'm basically trying to say, God didn't have to give this to us. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not God is in this, and so this is why we believe in God. Like, creation, people, like,
right.
It's obvious in so many ways that God could reveal himself in so many different ways, but because this is the primary way, to me, what you just said is so good because it's like, then why wouldn't I spend time learning this and spend time reading it and spend time, kind of like seeing what it says, because otherwise I'm not going to have a real relationship with Jesus. It's going to be your relationship or my aunt's relationship or my pastor's relationship or one of my favorite author's relationship. I don't want to be someone's plus one when it comes to Jesus. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I want to be his best friend. I want him to be my best friend. And I think with the Bible, it is tough. I was thinking a couple things, just like how horribly abused the Bible is. Like if this is your, like we were saying, like if this is your first time in small group, like we're not calling you out necessarily. we're saying like, hey, be careful.
Yeah.
Like this can be abused. Cause I mean, if you pull out any book, let's say you pull out,
I mean, you could take one of these books on the walls, one about Constantine, open up to chapter 12.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then read the 14th sentence down. And then you read that and you're like, oh man,
this is how I'm going to live my life.
Yeah. And like, how much do we do that? Like,
or what a great story.
Yeah. Man. It's like so silly. Like I love this and I'm not hating on this verse, but it is like so hammered. Is like Jeremiah 29:11. It's a great verse, but actually the whole chapter, Jeremiah 29, go read it, is amazing. And it's like so compelling. And so like, why would I take out one sentence from a chapter in a book and then think that I know everything about it? Like, it's just so, it's just been so wrongly approached. And I think, and I think for me, like you guys have mentioned, it's a library. It's not a book. It is comprehensive. Like, this goes into this, and if you don't read this, then you won't understand this. But like, you should read John. You should read Isaiah. You should read Jeremiah, like not John 4. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is written as a book. And I think that's a big thing to remember. And then secondly, just like, no one would ever approach another book that would literally be insane. Like, oh yeah, I've read that book. Like, no, you haven't. Yeah. Just because you read in this textbook or because you read in this novel. Like, if you read a novel like that, you would be creepy and like, honestly sounds so weird. Right. But the other thing with this is like, taking it and saying like, there's no, and this is kind of more like on the academic side, is there's no cheat to reading the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about it, and one of my really good friends, I was sitting in his house, and he has like a house that has like a bunch of shelves, bookshelves, and like not like some good books, like all good books. And he was like, dude, we were talking about the Bible, and he was like, all these books, it's just dessert. He was like, this is the meat. This is like your meal. And then you get to read these other books, which I'm not hating on any other book. I'm not hating on sermons or videos or anything like that. But why? Like, we talked about this. Where's your motive when it comes to reading the Bible? Is it to know Jesus more, or is it to show off, or is it to say that you read it so you kind of like get away with some, you know, like, oh, I did my homework. Yeah. Man, like, there's no cheat to this. Like, and if you do cheat, you're just going to be a cheater. And so I was thinking about like with the dessert thing, like, reading other books only or eating just dessert only is like basically getting married to someone because they're like really a good kisser. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like if that's all you base your relationship on for the future of your family, your wife, your kids, your grandchildren, all these things, because of this person I like to kiss them, is so dumb.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way, like, with the Bible, it really is like, that sounds silly, but like,
it does. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
but it's, but with the Bible, it's like, it's the talking, it's the hanging out, it's the, let's work through these things. What are you into? Okay, I'm not really into that, but let's like cooperate together to learn how to be, you know, whatever, and be in relationship with each other. And I don't know, that's just, I've been thinking about that so much.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it makes me think about something else, like why it's important to read the Bible is, you know, there's a lot of people who think they know what the Bible says, and a lot of people who think they know what God is like, whether or not, you know, they're Christians, or they grew up in church or not, or they hate the Lord or whatever. If I go up to a random person on the street and, you know, the Bible comes up, God comes up in conversation, mm-hmm. and they say, well, I don't want to follow God because X.
Yeah.
They could say anything.
Right.
And if I don't know the Bible, I'm actually unable to tell them whether or not their idea of what God is like, what they just said about God, is true or false.
Yes.
And I won't actually know if he references something in the Bible.
Right.
Whether or not the details are correct, whether or not it happened, right. or like the moral of the story, you know, like just whatever. And so it's like in terms of like not just like in that situation, like witnessing or, you know, like helping someone understand the Bible and God better, but also like what you were saying, Charles, about like marrying someone who you don't know that well.
Yeah.
You know, if like if Grace and I didn't talk a lot, we didn't get to know each other before we got married, and then, you know, someone's hanging out with Grace yesterday, and then the person tells me today, he's like, oh man, hey, like, have you ever talked to Grace about how she like wishes she could really kill cats like every day? And that's not true about Grace, but if I didn't know her that well, you know, and that just, you know, comes up in some other conversation with someone else, and, you know, I'm unable to like defend or confirm or understand that was maybe like, you know, 20 years ago she didn't understand what a cat was and thought it was a stuffed animal, you know, like whatever, which also isn't true. you know, but I wouldn't be able to, like, why identify with something or someone when you have such little knowledge of that person.
Yes.
So why commit my life to God if I know nothing about it?
Yeah, or even like take it a step further. Why would I want to spend eternity?
Right, yeah.
Why would I want to go to heaven? Hell might be better for me if I don't know what God's actually like. Honestly, like at the end of the day, why would I want to commit my eternal existence to this person if I have no idea? And I don't want to spend the time or the mental capacity to understand this thing that he's given me.
Yeah.
Like that is like really, really kind of tough to wrap my mind around. Because to me, I'm like, if I'm going to say I'm a follower of Jesus, number one thing I need to do is figure out what this Jesus guy's like.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not going to follow him. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Heck no. You know, that would be crazy. But like, how many people do that? To where it's like, oh yeah, heck yeah, I have faith, or I believe in God, and it's like, well, that's cool, but what God do you believe in?
Yeah.
Like, what is the God you're talking about? Is that the actual, like, it's kind of like a play on words, but like the Word of God? Do you know the Word of God, or do you know the God of the Word? And I think that is like a big deal, because honestly, everything, including eternity, is at stake.
Yeah.
When it comes to what we think about God and what we think about his word to us.
Yeah. And even like just thinking about like God's attempt to reveal us to him, like reveal himself to us.
Right.
Like God has gone to the ends of the earth.
Yes.
You know, like literally Jesus coming down, you know, in human form is like God's, like one of God's attempt to make himself known to us, you know. That's, and like the Bible is another one of those things, and I'm gonna get all missions on you guys real quick, but like
it's a book about missions.
Like this book is illegal
in
so many parts of the world, and for us for me to have seven of them in my house at least is like, man, that is a huge privilege and opportunity to know like literally the creator of the universe who wants me to know him. And so to just, you know, think of it like, oh yeah, it's a book, or it's too hard to read, or I don't like reading, so I don't want to read the Bible or whatever. Oh. It's like, man, do you know, like,
I mean, there's Chinese Christians who would weep just for a page
of
one of your seven Bibles. Yeah. Like
in prison.
Because they said they believed in it. Yeah. The Bible that they know a page of. Like, people have died for this book, not 100 years ago, like people have died today because of this book.
Yeah. And the people who wrote a lot of this book died, like some of the disciples right. of Jesus, Matthew, John, Peter,
yes.
like they gave their lives in obedience to Jesus. And some of the stuff that these guys who spent time with in flesh God,
yes.
Jesus, wrote this stuff down, and we have it because they were obedient yeah. and he revealed himself yeah. to yeah. them. And now it's like, man, if I can't spend time with in person Jesus, I'm going to read
yeah.
what someone yeah. wrote about right, him yeah. who did spend mm-hmm. that yeah. time yeah. with him.
And these guys, like, they did it out of their love for Jesus, but they also did it because they want us 2,000 yeah, years later.
They did it for us too.
To know him, yeah. like, to know him as well.
Yeah. 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 That's really cool. Yeah. I think, man, I'm excited about this. I think yeah. Something really, really cool about the Bible is how much access we have to it. I mean, mm-hmm. I have this one. I have one on my phone. I have one at my house. You know, like it's so easy for us to get it. And so yeah. I think that's a I don't know. I think there are a lot of things that we haven't covered today that could be and I don't mean this in a mean way, but like an excuse. Like, well, I don't really know this. I don't know which one to get. There's, you know, you go to the thing and there's like
a million.
Like, yeah, it's yeah. kind of weird. And so, I mean, man, I think if I'm hungry for God, it's nothing's going to stop me. If I have a real hunger,
yeah.
I'm not going to be like, well, it, you know, like if you're starving hungry and you're like, and someone's like, oh, hey, here's some Apple Jacks. You're not going to be like, ah, not a big fan of Apple Jacks. Could I actually have, you know, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Like, no, you can have this food because you're dying, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think if we realize the necessity for the Bible and like we've talked about today, and then second, that it is given to us truly, freely. I mean, yeah, you might go spend $45 or $100 on a Bible, but worth it. Yeah. I think that's a big deal, but we just want to finish and talk about the time. So just real fast. If you spend 5 minutes a day reading the Bible, you will finish it in less than a year.
What?
Like, that's crazy. That like this big old book, thousands pages or something, you'd finish it in less than a year. It only takes out loud about 72 hours to read. So three days ish.
Yeah.
And so something we were like playing around with this idea is if you spent like, I don't know how everybody is at home over the break, but some people have literally nothing to do. You don't have a job, your parents might be working, so you're just sitting at the house. No brothers or sisters, nothing going on. If you spent 8 hours a day, that's a third of your day. That's not even all of your day. Mm-hmm. Sleep 8 hours, read 8 hours, play 8 hours. You would finish in 9 days. 9 days.
Dang.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
like that's is. This is like making this less and less and less daunting.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And so we did some math for you guys, and you have about 56 days from when this releases, this podcast releases until you'll be back on campus. So Jan 19 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I think it's about 56 days. If you read the Bible for 1 hour and 24 minutes for 56 days, you will be done. You'll come back to campus having read this entire thing, having a pretty, pretty comprehensive and cohesive idea of what God is like.
Yeah.
Imagine.
That's crazy.
How much this campus will change. Imagine, dude, not yeah. just you, like this is for you. Yes. You will know Jesus in a deeper and bigger way. But this campus is going to change. Your roommates will change. And not just change like, oh, they're better now, but like they will know Jesus because mm-hmm. you truly do. You no longer yeah. just think you do, but you really know Jesus now. And yeah, an hour and 24 minutes, like, ho. Think about your screen time. I mean, yeah. you said yesterday, what was it? The job thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the way people are on their phones, you have a full-time job on your phone
yeah.
and don't get paid oh, yeah. for it. You know, like,
yeah.
You're wasting time.
7 hours, 8 hours a day on your screen time, you know, update. Like, man, like spend the time, spend the hour and 20 minutes per day reading this and come back full of God.
Yeah.
And let's get after it. I'm so pumped about this.
Yeah, like read it with someone in your small group.
Read it with your small group.
Yeah.
What a cool idea. Yeah. Is that why I do this?
Oh, what?
Yeah, for real. Cool. Well, thank you so much for being with us today,
Ian. Awesome.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. And also we will add the discussion questions so that you guys can talk about this throughout the week with your small group in the link in the show notes. Cool. We'll see you guys later. Have a good Thanksgiving or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Bye.